Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I mean, Syracuse, it's just a family atmosphere. Not just the university, but the community as a whole. I mean, they welcome me with open arms. My teammates, I mean, we keep in contact every single day, and I know that's going to continue 10 to 15 plus years down the road. And I mean, the coaching staff, them being student athletes at Syracuse and coaching us now and help mentoring us, I think that's helped us prepare for this step as well. Everyone that asked me throughout my 3 years here, who are the best fans in the country and the place I like to play at the most, and it's always the Dome. I mean, Syracuse fans, they're the most loyal fans, win or lose, they're always by your side. No matter how the season's going, they're always packing the Dome in freezing weather. And I mean, I'm gonna say this for the rest of my life, but Orange Nation is the best out there, and no one competes with it.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please subscribe. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We're the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a platform. So what has felt like 2 months is actually
forever.
Only been about... It's only been about 2 weeks. At least it feels like that for us anyway. So we got some Q's news, a little bit of just basic off-season update stuff, and then we've got...
Yes.
We're going to do our way too early top five. I asked you that question on social media earlier or later last week, towards the end of last week, because we were supposed to do this show on Friday, but Joe, he just didn't make it. So here we are, 48 hours late.
Yeah, I mean, you know, things come up, you know.
Right. Things come up, this and that, sure. Mm. But first, before we get into all that, the fun that is the Q's Militia Podcast, we got to hear from the folks over at MyBookie. Now, I know that there's not a ton going on to bet on, but you'd be surprised. MyBookie has got something for everybody. It's not just sports either. They do everything. Plus, they got NASCAR. You've got MLB starting up, you know? So, still a couple things.
Bachelorette. For those people that watch The Bachelorette, like your
They got props on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, they do. It's crazy.
It's so stupid. But as you guys know, I would only recommend a service to you guys that's been good to me. I've used MyBookie. Joe's used MyBookie. That's why I'm urging you to make your way over there. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for all the fantasy guys and gals out there, you know the deal. You can bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code QS25 to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code QS25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid. My bookie. All right.
Hey, I just want to make something clear.
Wait, what?
Well, I mean, I know I said that, but I don't watch The Bachelorette. I just want people to know that. I just happen to be on the website.
You just happen to be on my bookie, and you saw props for Bachelorette, and so you thought you'd mention it on the show.
Well, I mean, I thought it was funny because I know personal people that I'm not going to say their names, but I know that they're forced to watch them with their girlfriends and so on and so forth. So it just made
Joe?
Me chuckle a little bit. Huh?
Is their name Joe?
No, their name is not Joe.
Okay. If you say
no.
So.
I mean, there might be a Joe out there. Not this Joe.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine. So dome renovations. And if you weren't keeping up with it, Wild Hack was interviewed for the Post Standard, and he said the key date for being ready is September 2020. So kind of what's going to happen is at the end of the basketball season, beginning of lacrosse season, or well, I guess the middle of lacrosse season, 2020, I guess the men's basketball should be finished up, but if the women's going to host games, they either may not be able to host games or have to find a host site.
Right.
The lacrosse team, they've already played at CNS once because of the women's playing in the dome.
Right.
So they might do CNS, they might do CBA, and then there was one other thing. Oh, Syracuse football likes to usually get 7 home games in a year. They might go split 6-6 for that year to finish up renovation. So they're starting it early and hoping to get it done quicker and, do it in phases. And, of course, they got to work around the weather. So,
no, yeah, you never know about the weather.
Nothing set in stone there anyways. you know what I mean? So moving on, there was some great news, I thought the numbers were high. 4,000 new season tickets have been sold ahead of the 2019 season. And they released these numbers. This was a week ago, last Monday, I believe. So a week ago today, as we record now. So 4,000 new season tickets. That's pretty dope. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Well, I think there were some numbers in there that said that the retention rate from last year is already over 90% as well. So That looks pretty good.
Yeah, you're looking at retaining over 90% and adding 4,000. That's pretty awesome.
And usually they get a good show out when it comes to spring games. I know a lot of times with the spring games they kind of let you walk around and you can see they have signs where like in sections of how much season tickets are there and you can kind of walk around.
They're cheap.
Oh yeah, they're cheap. They're cheap. I mean, obviously, you get down closer, and the prices go up. But comparable to other teams in Division One, they're cheaper. And again, a lot of times during the spring game, that's the time where people can go. They can kind of get their different vantage points, look at the prices, and actually, for all intents and purposes, shop for your season ticket. So a lot of times they get decent numbers with that too, and that's still. What's that? This Saturday, I believe, right? 13th spring game. So
right, yep. Already.
Looking for those numbers to go up.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will. I mean, like I said, the tickets are cheap. I think when I went, I sat in the 300 section. There's not really a bad seat in the house, really. I mean, unless you get shoved in the middle of an end zone somewhere way up high. But I mean, those are the worst seats.
Some people like them.
I know. Those are the worst seats, but they're only bad for the other half of the field. They're great for your side, the 50-yard line. You know, all the plays coming at you are going away, depending on whatever.
Right.
So, anyway, there is some other news. Now, I think we'll leap these hurdles. But Abdul Adams, Sam Heckel, and Chris Elmore all with injuries. I think Abdul Adams' arm was in a sling. Heckel was undisclosed, offensive line. And Chris Elmore, fullback, he had a leg injury, right? So So I don't believe any of these to be too serious. I don't know. The one that's undisclosed bothers me a little bit, but we've still got a lot of time.
Well, that bothers me. And actually, Ed Hendricks, he got hurt too as well, and he's out for the rest of the spring along with those other three. So, not seeing him get any type of
two backs too, Abdul Adams and Chris.
Yeah, but from what I hear, they'll be back. I mean, that's a good thing about the spring is it's just. It's kind of a little, just practice in between the seasons, kind of keep you in the mix or whatever. But
yeah, you want them to get the rotations, though. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but practice doesn't start until or camp doesn't open until August. So
yeah, true.
You got some time.
Yeah, they're all in the gym right now, though. So doing that.
Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, Tommy DeVito has gotten jacked since football season has ended. I mean, he's just gotten huge, so he's bulking up. He's going to be a big dude. South Alabama graduate transfer Ryan Alexander, he verbally committed since we've been away. He did that during an official visit last weekend, or the weekend before last. 6'4", 308 pound. He was a 2-year start right tackle for USA, that is.
USA.
Yeah.
USA.
I think that's my second team now. For University Southern South Alabama. So he started 28 games of the team's 29 games that he's played in. So, yeah.
Honorable mention last year in that conference. So you got a pretty decent offensive lineman coming in.
Yeah,
I think he's a starter.
And we talked the weak point going into the offseason for football was the one thing that worried you, I guess, that you mentioned was the offensive line. So,
well, definitely on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to keep DeVito upright.
That's right. And the last thing that I've got on this list, unless Joe has something to add, is the lacrosse team. They're ranked 13th right now. They're sitting at 6-3, and they're going to host Cornell, who is also 6-3. This is senior night. It is tomorrow night, Tuesday, April 9th. The game is at 6 o'clock in the evening, and it's the final regular season game. And then Syracuse will go on to visit North Carolina. That'll wrap up the ACC. That will be on April 13th. And then the last game of the season, they'll close that out with a trip to Navy on April 20th. And then, boom, is the ACC tournament. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's already wrapping up. It's a quick season, man, but it's so much fun, dude.
It is.
So,
Go out and watch them. Senior night.
Yeah, senior night at the Dome. It'll be fun. That game against Duke was like the only game I really missed so far this year, of course.
It was like one of the best ones.
I know. So I watched the last minute of it, of course, in highlights. But anyway, that's it. Do you have anything else on that, Joe? On the news front?
No. Okay. No, I haven't really heard too much more about it. I know, we'll probably get some more news here within the next, through the rest of the week, and then obviously with the spring game being on Saturday. So we know that we'll get a little bit of video, and we know that we're going to get some news on that. But for right now, good on the football front, my friend.
That's it. And we just wrapped up the basketball season, obviously.
No.
So we knew the day after Syracuse lost to Baylor, Tyus was gone. He pretty much announced that. And
yeah.
You heard his exit interview, if you will. That's what we opened the show with. It's about a minute of about two and a half minutes, something like that.
So, good video from Q's TV. If you want to check it out, it's over on YouTube.
Yeah, go check it out. Brissett, he's going to test the waters. Essentially what he's doing, if you didn't hear or you've been living under a rock, is what he's just going to. He's not hiring an agent. He's just going to go through the motions like Tyus did last year. I don't expect Brissett to go anywhere. I expect him to come back, but you never know. But for now, I would expect him back. So,
yeah, I think that's just one of those things that we've seen happen. I think a bunch of different times in the last, 7-8 years, we've had in underclassmen, test the waters or go to the draft. So it's just something we're kind of getting used to. But
It's going to be a routine thing.
Yeah, it's a routine thing. They just want to throw the feelers out there to see. To see what NBA scouts say and everything like that. Again, can't sign an agent because that completely disqualifies you. And he stated that he hasn't. There was in some other news I saw. Well, Boeheim, he was talking about Brissett and how he thinks that him thinking too much about the NBA during
this
the season this year.
You think?
And he thinks that's part of the regression was and. I honestly, personally think that he's going to end up not being shown up in any of the mock drafts. I don't think he's going to get invited to the combine. I mean, this is my personal opinion. And then once that happens, I really don't think you can keep your name in it. I mean, Tyus, he pulled himself out of the draft, and he was invited to the combine last year. So, we'll see. So it's happening here rather shortly, but I think he'll be back.
Yeah, well, we'll be up on it. But one guy who is hiring an agent is Pascal Chukwu, and he is going to see what he can manage. Obviously, he's got some immigration issues, but I believe, depending on how it goes, I think if you get a job on an NBA team, you'll be good. But, maybe he can play in Europe. Maybe he can play, I don't know. Wherever.
I mean, he'll have some options, but obviously he's going to have to figure stuff out because I think, like you said, you either got to be going to school or have some type of work visa or something like that. So I'm sure he'll have to figure it out. But
yeah,
he's been here. He's going to be graduated. He's going to get a degree. And, he'll figure it out.
Yeah, so all three of them, we wish him the best. I would like to see Brissett come back. I think that's probably the best for him, but who knows? But we wish him the best, no matter what he decides to do. And, of course, Tyus, obviously, and Chukwu as well. So that is That's it for the basketball news and stuff. Oh, wait. No, it's not. What am I saying? Jesse Edwards. 6'11" center from the Netherlands who committed last week. And this was a kind of an under-the-radar grab, Joe.
Yeah.
And you look at his highlight reel, and he's someone who, in his highlight reel, now you know my philosophy on highlight reels if you've listened. Highlight reels are called highlight reels because they're all full of highlights. I could have a highlight reel, right? But you got to do it. You got to do it anyway, and he does it, man. He's bringing the ball up the court. He's got finesse. He's got great ball control. He can finish around the rim. He looks for the lob. I mean, he does all the things that you need, that we really is, if he could be consistent in doing what he's done, you know, he's a great talent, I think.
Yeah, well, he, again,
needs a couple
like
cheeseburgers,
said,
though. Needs a couple cheeseburgers.
Yeah, again. Well, he being coming from the Netherlands, he's only been over playing in IMG Academy in Florida for, I think, since January. So I think he's kind of a late addition to these the recruits, and being 6'11" and with the wingspan that he has, I think it's a pretty good pickup. If you go back and you look at the, like you said, the highlight tape, it was a highlight tape, but it was a 2.5 minute long highlight
tape. There's two of them out there, though.
Well, I didn't go look at the other one, but this particular one, that it only was two different games. So 2.5 minutes of highlights through two different games.
That's pretty good.
I mean, he scored a decent amount of points in those two games. So really what I look at is I look at the little things that I don't want to say you can't coach, but just like you said, being able to have the drill. I mean, you can already tell
he's not putting the ball on the ground after rebounds. He's going immediately back up.
Yeah, he keeps the ball up high. Yeah. He can move. You can tell that he's just got better feet.
Finesse.
And he's more naturally athletic than the centers that we've had. He's definitely can catch the ball better and dribble better. His handle's better. I mean, just overall, his basketball
His basketball IQ seems to be pretty decent too. Yeah, he knows where to be, and
he knows when to look for the for the alley-oop stuff that. Right. So, and he seems to have a pretty good length. And it looks like his wingspan is actually longer than a 6'10", 6'11" guy. So, he might be looking at somebody who's perfect for the zone. But again, you always have to put the competition. And obviously the physicality, the speed, everything like that, it's going to change for him. But it's a good sign seeing that kind of stuff off of a tape because, again, I'm not looking at really the competition as much as that he can actually do it because he was doing things, you know, just athletically and with his hands and everything that
naturally.
We haven't seen naturally that we haven't seen a Syracuse guy figure out in 3-4 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So I'm really optimistic about Jesse Edwards, to say the least.
Yes.
So
yes.
Great grab, in my opinion, and right up Jim Boeheim's alley. Like, that is the quintessential Jim Boeheim recruit.
Yeah.
So anyway, a couple cheeseburgers would be my best suggestion.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's see. We love the emails. I got an email. I got a couple emails, but we got time to go over one. This one I committed to first. I already emailed him back. I asked him if we could go over it in the podcast. And so David emailed me, emailed us, and he says, why don't you guys look into and talk about blaming the other coaches for SU? Not that I want to place blame, but how can these young big men not get any better in the past several years? Don't quote me on exact years on some of this, but my point is this. When did SU develop big-time forwards and centers? Ronnie Cicely, Tom Thomas, John Wallace, Ryan Blackwell, etc. Answer. When Bernie Fine was here, 1976 to 2011, was the forwards centers coach. And Lewis Orr was also there from 95 to 2000 coaching big men. I'm not sure who is coaching forwards and centers since Bernie left. Since Mike Hopkins left, who are the coaches? Adrian Autry, Alan Griffin, and Jerry McNamara, three guards. We need to get a big time center forward coach that can mold these young big men. I love Griffin Red, but they are guards. What do they know about coaching forwards and centers? So, one more thing he adds. We'll unpack this in a second, Joe. I'll give it to you. Fact that I do not like. Alan Griffin was hired by SU in April of 2017. Lewis Orr was hired by Georgetown in June of 2017. Boeheim should have not hired Griffin. He should have hired Lewis Orr back to the coaching staff to work with these big guys. So, upset about the coaching, not sure where to face the blame. Kind of a lot to unpack, Joe. You and I had a heated discussion about this email before I asked to present it, before I asked David if we could use it for the show. So go ahead.
Right. Again, I like the email. I think that it's takes a lot of, I mean, you got a guy who really is looking into it a lot more than normal fans
right.
do.
And real quick, just an aside, the emails create conversation, and it's exactly why we look for you guys to send them. So anyway.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, everyone, they kind of see things their own little way and differently and things like that. Again, I just have these different thoughts and these different things about certain things. Obviously, all of our coaches are guards. So realistically, you'd look at that and you wouldn't think that we have a big man coach. But again, it can be taught. If just because you're a guard doesn't mean that you don't know how to coach big men. I mean, the big men have to be coached by somebody, right? So if a Bernie Fine can teach an 18-year-old kid, then why can't somebody teach a coach or a guard that's already played at that level? The only thing that's stopping somebody, I mean, somebody your size could know all the big man moves, but you can't physically be a big man because you're not tall.
What are you trying to say, though?
I'm trying to say that you can't be a 5'10 power forward.
5'10? Thank you. You gave me a couple inches. I really appreciate that, Joe.
Hey, you know, you did your hair a little bit today. And
I really
you look a lot shorter
that,
when you have your hat on. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's one of those things where, yes, I will agree that Bernie Fine was a good big man's coach. Lewis Orr. Again, he was a big man's coach, and then he went on to be a head coach, and maybe that's one of those things where he's just trying to stay on the path of maybe a faster way of becoming a head coach. And there's other things that go into it, too, recruiting, things like that. I think really that's why we took Alan Griffin over Lewis Orr, because I think that Alan Griffin's an up-and-coming
recruiter,
and I think that he was being looked at to help more for recruiting. And just realistically, Sean, when you look at it, other than just, I mean, we lose scholarships. We really can't miss on certain people. And then we get a Chukwu who's had some unfortunate things happen and maybe he didn't develop. And I think there was reasons for that.
To be fair to Chukwu, he missed some time. He missed a whole year of eligibility with surgery and everything.
Right. And he's had his little knee problems. So he's never really consistently.
That was last year. Yeah.
Right. And again, you know, I'm not saying coaching can't not be a reason for that, but there's a lot of other reasons. And again, I also go back to the fact that I think Prakeem Christmas, I thought was a pretty good. I mean, he played in the NBA for a little while. I thought he was pretty solid. And I think he was a great big man that I thought got better and better. And by his senior year, he was scoring and having double doubles all the time, you know? So mm-hmm. I think, that Mike Hopkins was the one that was shouldering that load. And I think that that was, you know, probably the next guy to have left. But I mean, realistically, I think that basing the regression of our big man, we're doing it off of one big man. We're doing it off of Chukwu. You know what I'm saying?
We kind of are. It's been a frustrating couple of years. No, I understand. It's been 3 years, 3.5 years, whatever. But I do get his point, though.
We've had three and a half years without the scholarships to fill. Maybe try to grab some of these other guys.
I understand. Do you think though that having guards recruit and guards being coaches is that appealing for prospects coming out of high school? Aren't they going to want to look to
And that's the other. Yeah, that's really the better question.
Right.
They help. Maybe Alan Griffin's a better recruiter, but are those guys helping recruit big men?
Yeah, and how can they appeal to big men in a way that can sell some of these really good ones, these talented kids coming out of high school? How can they sell it, the program, with three guards coaching? That's a tough buy,
I mean,
dude.
At this point, you could sell it on the lack of depth at those positions.
Playing time. Playing time. Well, I mean, I think that's to his greater point. And, you know, I agree with him. I think you should have someone that can coach and recruit in that position. I think it would help. He's got a point with Lewis Orr, but my greater frustration with Orr, honestly, came down to him going to Georgetown. I mean, dude, what the hell? I know he's got to work, but dude, what is going on? I mean, come on. Seriously?
Well, I mean, if you remember when he got the head coach, when he got a head coaching job, he went. His head coaching job was at Seton Hall when we were in the Big East.
Not the same. See, you cannot
still
compare Seton. I understand, but you cannot compare Seton Hall to Georgetown. As far as hatred level from a Syracuse fan. Come on. He hated Georgetown, too. Now he wears a Georgetown logo. Come on.
I wouldn't say. He wears a suit. He's an assistant.
Jeez. He's got Georgetown gear. That's sad.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I haven't seen it. I think he's just using it as a stepping stone.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, you know, good question. He could have been hired. Maybe it wasn't a good fit. Maybe he didn't want to come back. Maybe he was considered. Maybe it was talked about. Maybe it wasn't a good fit. I don't know.
Well, again, too, you know, just relationships that you have with your assistant coaches, too. You do spend a lot of time on the road and at home and everything. So, I mean, those people, you know, they're necessarily, you know, I mean, pretty much your family, too. So
right.
That goes into it, too. And you never really know what's going on behind the scenes. And I think, obviously, Boeheim's proven that he's more comfortable with ex-players and former people that he's had good relationships with on the bench.
To wrap it up, I'll wrap it up and then I'll let you piggyback. I get it. I think it would be definitely a move in a positive direction to get a big man coach that can also recruit. Who is it? I don't know. Is it going to happen? I don't know. I don't think it would hurt. Secondly, is it the coaching? Is it the recruiting? Is Mike Hopkins recruiting? Is him being gone? Now we've got all these scholarships back. When he was here during some of the worst, you know, scholarship availability, and you know, has his leaving affected us? I don't know if we've seen it yet.
But
you think we have?
What do you mean?
Well, you mentioned who? Who'd you mention to me in the conversation that we lost?
Well, Isaiah Stewart, number one.
Wow, I know. We went over that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, that one I can kind of understand in a certain way. But, I mean, I thought that we would have a head start, maybe a one-up on some teams because of the people that were on his team as far as AAU with him playing with Joe Girard
and
Buddy
Boeheim. Yeah.
Yeah, but obviously he – and I know Washington, they're losing their big man, so they're going to have an opening for a center. And I'll tell you what, he was one of the best players on that dang McDonald All-American court during that McDonald All-American game, too. So I think Washington is going to be a really good team next year. The one that I was mentioning was I don't know if it was last year or the year before, Quade Green, he was a McDonald All-American. And he was choosing between, I mean, obviously he had a bunch of people he could, but I think it came down to Syracuse and Kentucky. And Washington wasn't even anywhere in the mix,
you know, not even
in the mix. And he chose Kentucky, and then I think he went to Kentucky, and I don't know if it was just relationships, something went down, or he saw that he wasn't going to get certain playing time.
I think Hopkins went back to him.
And maybe that happened. And Hopkins, he went to when he got his job at Washington. So this kid decides he's going to transfer from Kentucky, and he transfers to Washington. So
the answer is yes.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, come on. He's coaches. I mean, he's coming from his coaching tree. They play the 2-3. He's out west. There's a lot of times that. The past couple of years where we've seen some of the recruits in us and Washington are both in the top five of that person. So we're going to be, you know, we're going to be able to recruit similar players. But not only that, he's in Washington, but he was in Syracuse for so long. So all those little hotbeds and places that he recruited, and I do believe that he was their best recruiter, he's going to be able to go to the East Coast where he used to recruit for Syracuse. And he's going to be able to take guys out of New York, New York City, and the East Coast and bring them out to West Coast. So, yeah, it's I don't think we've seen the last of Mike Hopkins' effect.
I know.
In our recruiting, sadly.
I think if we're gonna, it's gonna be, you know.
And I wish him nothing but the best, dude. But because I don't want to sit here
recruiting.
And I only hope. Well, I just it stinks when it comes to recruiting. But I think after these last 2 years, I mean, obviously we've had our run, and everybody knows. You know, I think it's been down with Boeheim, and even me, I was still down with Boeheim getting extended for, you know, the however many years, but I think I'm definitely on the train of hoping that a possibility of a return to Syracuse for Mike Hopkins could be a possibility in the future. Hopefully.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll
see. I hope that we don't bash him enough to where he doesn't never want to come
This fan base loves the heck out of Mike Hopkins. I've never seen any of that. Through all of this, everything we've seen with players leaving early or whatever, or transferring, and you see fans trash them, never seen even some of the most vitriolic fans. I've never seen them anything negative about Mike.
What they'll do is they'll attack the AD and blame him for not being able to fire Boeheim and keep.
Well, that's fair game. John Wildhack's fair game, and I like the guy. I think he's doing a great job.
He's doing a great job too.
But you know, he's fair game. Whatever. Okay. Our way too early top five. Now, we asked the question on social media, and we'll go over some of yours, but Joe has a way too early top five. I have a way too early top five, and he didn't tell me his, and I didn't tell him mine. So, do you want to go first, or you want me to go? I mean, mine's very
go ahead.
Just simple.
Yeah.
Goodine and Carey. Okay, Carey at point. Brissett Hughes, and then maybe in this to start the season, Dolezal to start, and then maybe Edwards later gets to start.
That's yours?
Yeah, I don't have Sidibe in there.
You don't?
I snuffed Sidibe.
I did. I saw that.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's fine. I think that it's traditional that Boeheim, every once in a while, he changes it up after a certain point. But I think that he has a system as far as going with, I think, the known or the comfortable. So just to start the year, saying this is going to be the starting lineup going into ACC play, but to start the year, I think it's going to be Carey and Buddy with Hughes. Yep, with Hughes and Brissett and Sidibe.
Okay. Well,
I think he'll have everybody that returns, but that doesn't mean that that's going to be, you know, remember the year when Gillen took over for Frank Howard, but Frank Howard started, year.
We also know that the beginning of the year is with Boeheim and his
everyone's going to play. There's going to be so many people chemist, that play this.
Yeah, he throws everything at it. He throws everything at it, and he just
to see who's ready.
Sticks. Yeah, absolutely. But that's what I would go with. And here's the other thing that I would present to you is that, I mean, depending on what's going on down low with Dolezal or Sidibe or whoever, you know, you've got possibility, you know, Braswell coming off the bench too with Dolezal. I mean, there's so many different ways to mix
Guerriere,
this up.
We don't know how good Guerriere is going to be, exactly. Bryson Goodine. So
yeah,
that's really the thing. Buddy Boeheim.
Yeah, Buddy Boeheim on a wing. I could see that.
Right. But depending if we're playing smaller teams. But I'm just saying, seeing Buddy Boeheim coming in, there wasn't really that many, you know, there wasn't great expectations for the first year. I think he over-exceeded them. But who's to say that somebody else can't ever do that? So we have a lot of young guys on our team now.
Do you see any redshirts? You know,
I think we got the solids of Elijah and Brissett. And I think we know what Buddy can do, which is – at minimum, come off the bench and put some points up on the board.
Absolutely.
And play some pile solid, heady, you know, play some defense, some rebounds, stuff like that. But I'm not I'm just saying what I think the starting five is going to be from the beginning. That doesn't mean that a Gaudin or a Guerriere or an Edwards, or, I mean, I could see a situation where some of these kids could come out of nowhere and just play better than some of these guys.
Okay, but, listen, I got two questions for you.
No.
Because I'm worried about one thing. I'm worried about transfers. Because I think there's I think there's a lot of talent on this team, but I worry about losing. I think there is a lot of talent on the team, but it's young talent and it's developing, and no one knows what to do right now, and no one's not going to know what to do really until we get into ACC play next year. So someone's going to get snuffed. And there's going to be guys.
No, traditionally they have though. I mean, traditionally up and down, and sure. I mean, usually. I mean, I remember a lot of times getting classes of four players and three, four players, and one of them having to, you know. I remember we had Mike Jones, and he transferred out. And I remember Tony Bland transferring out. I remember Louis McCroskey transferring out. Caleb Joseph transferring out.
He was going to be good, too, I thought, but whatever.
No, he really didn't end up being that good. We had that center that transferred out to, Eastern Michigan. BJ Johnson transferred out. I mean, we know that's normally what happens because Boeheim, he doesn't go deep. So we're in a situation right now, like you said.
I worry about a Carey or a Braswell, though. And those
I think right now, looking meta, especially with the medical situation, well, Howard Washington, we really don't know what's going on with him.
No, that's true.
And I know that there's. You know, right now we have five guards, five forwards, and three centers, three centers. And so, I mean, and they're not all going to play. So what happens is the cream of the crop rises, and the ones that are left behind, if they don't think that they are going to get the playing time that they want, then they transfer.
I know. If Braswell doesn't get a fair shake, I'll be very disappointed. That's all I'm saying. I love Carey, too.
If he's not getting a fair shake, there's probably a reason.
Yeah, I don't know if that's totally true.
I'm telling you, Boeheim and them, a lot of it goes into what happens behind the scenes, what's going on in practices and how you're practicing and everything like that. So,
I know you keep.
How many times do we hear him say that all the time? How Pascal looks good in practice, Frank Howard's shooting good in practice, so that's why they're playing.
Right.
So it just so happens that Braswell actually went out to the games and actually played good when he was in the games, but who knows what he's doing in practice. Because if he's out there in the practice and he's not doing the right rotations or he's not doing certain things right, then and he's like kind of last in the chopping block or in the pecking order, Boeheim's not going to play him.
Yeah, I know. And I guess it is what it is. We're just going to have to wait and see. But because someone's leaving, someone's getting redshirted, something's happening. There's 13 guys.
Not a senior in a bunch.
Right. So, I mean, and you know, the other thing is that I think deters some of these kids from leaving is they got to sit out a year. I think, I don't know if I agree with that rule necessarily, but I know it goes into the decision-making process, and that is, you know, helps a little bit. But anyway.
Well, dude, I think I'm on board with that. I don't even really like, I mean, the graduate transfer rule to me is,
Necessary evil? It's a necessary evil to prevent?
Well, the graduates, yes.
Yeah.
Because graduate transfers, I understand, because you can actually...
Sure, but you can only do it once.
You can mask it as academics, and you can do it... And it's only for 1 year, but, like, there's got to be, at some point, there's got to be some commitment. Just because you show up somewhere and something doesn't go your way for a semester or a marking period that, you know, you can't just give up and just walk away. You know, sadly, that's something that I did in my life. So, and I wouldn't put it on anybody because you could end up regretting it for the rest of your life. And honestly, just forcing kids to commit nowadays, commitment's a tough thing now for a lot of people. And, you know, just I don't think it sets a right precedent or a good example to allow a kid to just show up and just because maybe some guy is better than him or he's not going to play, that he can just leave without having any type of punishment or repercussion, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do some Twitter feedback on this. Okay. I've got at David House 91578. He says, Gerard, Buddy, Hughes, Brissett, and Marek. Now, you know how much I love Gerard.
And yeah. That sounds like something you would say.
I know it is too.
That's what I thought you were gonna say. To be perfectly honest with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can see this combination going. I just don't know. Like I said, like you said, who the hell knows? But moving on.
Well, speculation is amazing. That's what makes up half of sports.
Yeah. At Codet underscore Jeff Hughes. He's got this out of order the way I would have done it. He's got, let's see, Buddy, Carey, Hughes, Brissett, and Dole. So he's got Buddy starting. That's the only difference there. How about this? Jalen, Buddy, and Elijah. Then O'Shea and Sidibe.
That's what I said.
Yeah. That's
a smart one right there.
That is at MFB right side. Matt in the hat.
All right. I like it. Matt in the hat.
He's got
Matt
that.
Matt Brazil.
Let's see. He also says someone. Okay. Well, here, let's just go through this real quick. And then at James Curtin says this, but 50-50 on Marek over Sidibe. So he's got that. Then he replies, while Marek is a better quote-unquote basketball player, Sidibe gives more size, and Marek has more flexibility off the bench, could come in at 3, 4, or 5, true, which is his spot, his spots. Quincy could fill right in for O'Shea, and he leaves, and Gerard could get looks to come in as a great sixth man. So he's got it.
Well, and that's what he's saying, and more or less, you have Merrick come off the bench to see what's, because usually who's the first person that comes off the bench? Either one of those two forwards that made some dumb play, or they're not doing something right, or somebody in foul trouble. So if Sidibe gets in foul trouble real quick, all right, Dolje is going in. You know,
yeah.
I mean that's how they're going to start it. But I don't think Dolje, unless he's had to because of injury, I don't think that he started. I mean, there's been random times where he's actually started a game over like a Chukwu or a Sidibe just because of that. So he's going to start his size, in my opinion.
Yeah. At Diehard Q's fan, he's got Gerard and Buddy, Elijah, Brissett, Marek. That was the same thing as at David House. So that's a popular combo. Let's see. At Crush 44 Orange, Jalen, Buddy, Hughes, Marek, Sidibe. No Brissett.
Ooh. Well, I think that's probably him assuming that's if Brissett's leaving.
I just don't see that, but I get it.
No,
I
me mean, neither. If, and realistically, I mean, to
if
really
Brissett
break...
leaves, that's a that. If Brissett leaves, I would buy into that.
Yep. Me too.
Okay. And then at Real K Pal something. Sorry, man. Skull. Sorry, I don't know what this means. Skull for life. Okay, I'll just call him that. He replies to at Crush Orange, Crush 44 Orange. He says Sidibe. Ouch. Wow. No love for the big guy.
Dude, it's so up and down because my dad loves Sidibe.
Oh yeah, you told me about that.
He does. He thought he was better than Chukwu. So he thought he should have been playing over Chukwu this year. So
did we talk about this? And did I say I might agree with that? Did we have this conversation? I remember you told me that. I think he might be right with that. I just, dude. I mean, look, I love Chukwu. I wish Chukwu the best. I really do. But we had so much frustration with Chukwu's play. I mean, the stone hands in the putting the ball on the floor. It's just you didn't see that much from Sidibe. He just didn't do that.
Yeah, there was little things that you didn't really have to worry about with Sidibe, like him getting the rebound and wondering if he's going to be able to get the ball to the point guard.
Yeah, like basic stuff. Yeah, 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 totally.
I get it.
I think your dad's right. I think he's better. I do. At B. Levy, Go Q's 2003. Carey, he does this out of order. Hold on.
There's no order. It doesn't matter what five. I think people can figure it out.
I know.
There's two guards,
like,
there's two forwards in the center, Sean.
I know, but he only has... He's got Carey, Hughes, Brissett, Dolezal, and Guerrier. So.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Look, I'm telling you, like right now, the bottom line, it seems kind of... I don't want to say set, but obviously I think everyone knows that it's going to be Hughes and Brissett if Brissett comes back on the wings. Right, I think obviously what's really the biggest intriguing thing is what kind of matchups and everything can you get with those guards? Because who's to say that you can't maybe get two different pairs of guards that just play better with each other? Like you said, absolutely. I mean, you had a Carey and a Gaudin in there, and then you have a Gerard and...
Oh, my gosh.
And a Buddy.
I just switched to Facebook. I just noticed something. There is something called Top Fan now on Facebook for our Facebook page.
What?
And it tags people with the Top Fan star when they comment.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. That's so funny. Joe P's one. Brandon B. All right, here. Steven says Brahma. Okay. O'Shea, Elijah, Bryson, and Gerard. He says, confidence not high on Buddy as a starter who is great off the bench, and Jalen, who I'm not sure about yet, almost rather gamble with a freshman at this time.
Mm.
That's harsh on Carey.
Yeah, it really is.
I understand that, though. I understand that because Carey had his struggles, man. He just struggled. He was turning the ball over. He showed glimpses of...
Yeah, but I think he just was getting... I know he was dealing with some injuries, and there was a couple different times I knew where he didn't suit that he was injured. And I don't know. It just seemed like he just couldn't get it. I don't know. Like, it didn't slow down for him, you know? He's a fast player. I know he likes taking it to the hoop, stuff like that, but... It seemed like the rest of the game just did not slow down for him. And you just hope that in between the offseason and going into next year, that that's something that can happen. Because I think if it does, I mean, we saw glimpses, man. And I know that Bryson Gaudin kid, he's got some size, he's 6'4". And I don't know if he's going to have him try to play point guard or what. But I'm definitely intrigued by these set of point guards because Jalen Carey looks just super fast and he looks like he can finish around the hoop, and then you have three other guys that can shoot threes. So, I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, mixing and matching and subbing in and out anyway. But I'm really, really excited to see what these guys can do, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Joe P., Carey, Buddy, Hughes, O'Shea, Sidibe. Now, I could buy into that one. Dolly comes in for Sidibe. Around the first time out.
Yeah, that's pretty much par for the course. That's what
about,
I mean.
It's about
just
right.
Because you start, that's one thing. Just because you start really don't mean too much. Because
right,
Boeheim's
right.
pulled a lot of people
right.
out in the first.
And he's got the guys. You will get pulled.
Yeah.
Now, that presents another issue, an issue we talked
yes.
about last season. So, you know, we'll just have to see. But... With Dolly at the start down low, that's what I kind of see at the beginning of the year. But maybe it's Sidibe. Who knows? Sidibe, maybe
to be perfectly honest with you,
bounds,
I hope it's
man.
One of the other two.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Sidibe, he's had
Bolajac?
Some good games.
We haven't heard of Bolajac yet. Bolajac or
John Bolajac or Jesse Eber. I mean, you don't know. I just don't. At some point, if somebody down there doesn't give us an offensive threat, then
right. And that's the thing. You gotta have someone down there that can score and pick and roll. Like, hello, Chukwu was not a pick and roll threat. He just wasn't. Christopher James,
no.
Jalen, Buddy, Elijah, O'Shea, Sidibe.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much got the.
Yeah,
a couple different
yeah.
options that we think
yeah.
of.
Here's
you
one
know.
More, though, because he gets trolled by Bubba. Bubba the troll. And Bubba's a Syracuse fan, too, but he has been dubbed the turd disturber on the Facebook page.
Oh, boy.
Timothy says, Carey Brissett, he will be back. Hughes, Boeheim, and someone at center, probably Bolajac, he says. Okay? And then Bubba says, Timothy, it's going to be a long season with that lineup. So... Yeah, and that is our Facebook page in a nutshell. So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun to speculate, man. That's what we do in the off season. So here's the deal: we're gonna try to get at least one more episode in this month.
Month.
And Joe and I talked about doing some other things. Now, always remember if you want to, you can always call the hotline, 315-236-2436, and send in emails, man. If you see a news story, if you see anything, if you have questions, if there's something that we don't talk about that you want us to talk about like David did, shoot us an email at cusemilitia@gmail.com, and I respond as soon as I can, and I always respond. I try to anyway. But
no, you do. You do. You're pretty good at it.
Yeah, I eventually respond, put it that way. So you can always email us there at cusemilitia@gmail.com or the hotline again, 315-236-2436. And, you know, it could be a really fun off season with participation. And we're going to think of new things to present. So that's it. That's all I got, Joe.
No, just piggybacking on what you said. It's just if you have anything, like even the emails, comments, like you said, anything that you want us to talk about as far as maybe, like you said, some of the Cuse history stuff. I know I'm probably repeating some of the stuff you said, but again, like you said, that the fans and them being involved, that's kind of what runs us and fuels us. And if y'all want more episodes, then we need a little bit more stuff during the off season. So, I mean, yeah. I don't think me or Sean really care how many times we do it. It's just we need stuff. So
yeah, reach deep. We've thought about doing a 10-minute show on Friday nights.
The weekly sports. Yes.
Yeah, the weekly Cuse Militia podcast roundup.
Something like that. I don't know if I would really put it all in that order, but yes, we've thought about all that. So give us your input.
Yeah.
Thoughts. Yep. And you know, hopefully we can all get through this slow, boring off season.
Yeah, and don't forget to tune in
together.
Syracuse Lacrosse Senior Day tomorrow.
Yes.
6 p.m. against Cornell. So they beat us twice last year, by the way. It is time for revenge, and one of those was in a tournament. So,
yep. Big red.
Yeah. Yeah. Womp, womp. All right. That's it for Joe. I'm Sean. Until next time, we're out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Cuse Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. it's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.